But in the case of Mars, it preserves so much of its ancient terrain, and it's just wonderful. You can look at the images in my book, Magnificent Mars. You can see flood channels, enormous floodwaters that carve these teardrop-shaped islands and grooves in the Martian terrain. You can see what look like dried-up riverbeds on the Martian surface and what may have once been lakes on Mars. So that's the evidence that, you know, perhaps some 4 billion years ago, Mars was a friendlier planet than it is today, that it was able to support liquid water on its surface in the same way that the present Earth does. So the idea that Mars was once a friendlier planet is actually borne out by the actual evidence, just by looking at the wonderful images we have from the various NASA spacecraft.
Would it be reasonable then to think that all the planets were once, you know, very friendly to life, and that it was just changed? For example, Venus being closer to the sun obviously is hotter. Maybe not obviously, but I mean, I would think so. And then Earth is in just the right position. So far, so good for us. We'll see what happens. Mars was a little further out, and of course, the other planets being further out. Well, would that mean they were all compatible to our kind of life at one point and then changed?
It's possible. Again, we don't know about Venus, but it's certainly possible. One problem that Mars has is that it was born quite a bit smaller than the Earth. It's only got half the diameter of the Earth, and that turns out to be a crucial factor. And by the way, we've known why Mars was born so small ever since 1755.
Really?
Yes. Prussian philosopher Immanuel Kant speculated correctly, it turned out, that the planet Jupiter stirred up the objects trying to conglomerate into Mars. Jupiter is the most massive planet in the solar system, and its gravity stirred up those objects that were trying to build Mars. And today, of course, we can do computer simulations of forming solar systems, and those simulations have confirmed his speculation entirely, that when we leave Jupiter out of the picture, the fourth planet from the sun grows into a much larger planet, comparable in size to the Earth. And the small size of Mars, I think, is crucial in understanding why it failed to become another friendly planet like the Earth.
So had it been bigger, why would that have made a difference in terms of its friendliness to life?
Well, we think then it would have been able to hold on to its atmosphere. You see, in the early solar system, and I'm talking the first 800 million years of the solar system, all the planets were getting bombarded by asteroids and comets. We think actually the Earth got its moon that way when a large object smashed into the Earth and kicked debris into space that formed the moon. In the case of Mars, when those large objects hit Mars, it splattered air. They splattered air into space because the planet had such a weak gravity compared to the Earth and Venus. And so Mars lost its atmosphere, something that did not happen to the Earth and to Venus. So that's, you know, the curse of being born small caused Mars to lose its atmosphere and therefore to freeze.
In terms of the history of Mars, talk a little bit about the attraction to people on this planet. Why people singled it out? Why they were so fascinated with it?
Well, to ancient people, it stood out from the other planets simply by virtue of its color. I mean, it's distinctly colored. It's an orange color or a red color, depending on your own opinion. And it was named for the god of war, because that color reminded ancient people of blood. And we now know, strangely enough, that Mars is indeed red for the same reason that blood is. Blood turns red when iron-bearing hemoglobin joins with oxygen. And the same two elements, iron and oxygen, joined on the Martian surface to form rust. So the ancient people actually got it right. Mars is indeed red for the same reason that blood is. So that's why Mars stood out, you know, long ago. And then in more recent times, starting in the 1890s with American astronomer Percival Lowell, people began to think that there might be intelligent beings on the planet Mars, because Percival Lowell and other astronomers saw what they thought were canals, artificial waterways on the Martian surface. Now, we know today that those canals don't exist at all. They were simply optical illusions. Nonetheless, they inspired this vision that Mars was another planet out there that had intelligent beings and that they were trying to communicate with us. And indeed, a lot of science fiction actually goes back to the ideas of Percival Lowell. He had this idea that Mars was a dying planet that was drying up, and the Martians had to dig these canals to carry water from the polar ice caps to the equatorial regions where most of the Martians lived. And much of the, for example, The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells was written in the 1890s, shortly after Percival Lowell began advocating his idea. So Percival Lowell actually inspired a lot of science fiction that still is true today, in fact.
Well, it's the whole concept of not necessarily little green men, but the whole concept of life out there and the possibility of space travel has, I think the real interest in it has only increased the more we've learned about the planets, even though a lot of the early theories have been disproven.
That's right. And our very first spacecraft that we sent past the planet Mars in 1965, that was Mariner 4, was really a shock to even to scientists who most scientists dismissed Percival Lowell's colorful ideas long ago, but they had hoped that maybe there was some primitive plant life or something.
Mm-hmm.
They were shocked to see that much of Mars is really very hostile. It was very dry, very cold. It looked much like the moon. But since then, we've learned that Mars is actually a much more interesting planet. We've discovered all these ancient riverbeds and ice and so forth and so on. So Mars is actually a much more complex planet than we thought in 1965.